Hey, everybody, this is Pamela Moore, and you're listening to Iron City Rock.
Hi, everyone, this is Todd LaTorre from Queensryche, and you're listening to Iron City Rock.
Hey, everyone, this is Michael Wilson from Queensryche, and you're listening to Iron City Rocks.
All right, Pittsburgh! You wanted the best! You got the best!
Hello and welcome to episode 565 of the Iron City Rocks podcast. I'm your host, John, coming to you from the Iron City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, bringing you the best rock, hard rock, heavy metal, and blues talk on the net. Episode 565, we are very pleased to welcome back to the show after way too many years, Mr. Michael Wilton of Queensryche. The band's most recent album, Digital Noise Alliance, it's been out for a few years now, came out in 2022. But they've been doing non-stop touring since that album came out, and they're coming in to do a special tour at the Palace Theater in Greensburg on the 18th of November. The tour is entitled Volume and Vengeance, Queensryche, and special guests except who have not been in Pittsburgh since a long, long, long time. So that show is coming up this Tuesday. It is at 7:30, again, at Palace Theater in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. So we're going to play you a little bit of Digital Noise Alliance, a song you're going to hear on the set that night. We'll get into the interview with Michael Wilton.
Stop you!
Ladies and gentlemen, my pleasure to welcome to Iron City Rocks. We have on the line Michael Wilton of Queensryche. How are you doing this afternoon, Michael?
I am doing good, calling from the road, and we're just steamrolling through on this Queensryche Accept Volume and Vengeance tour, having a great time.
How is it being out with Accept? That's a band that unfortunately has not been in the States to try and immense amount, but I remember, it seems like yesterday, they put out just an amazing album with Blood of Nations. Are they getting a pretty good reaction with your audience?
Oh, yeah. It's a great show, you know. And, you know, over the years, you know, Wolf Hoffman has been asking me, hey, what do you think about doing a Queensryche Accept tour. So it finally happened.
Yeah.
And it's doing great. The fans love it. The shows are powerful, and it's really just an amazing show. Just got to see it.
When you guys are on a bill like that, I know you guys have done different, I don't want to say package tours, but you guys have toured with known entities before. Do you guys kind of play a little bit different set when you guys are going with a heavyweight like Accept, maybe metal it up a little bit more than normal, or do you guys kind of just stick to tried and true, you know, how you guys do your set list?
Well, this was an opportunity to, you know, mix up the set and just try and, you know, revitalize some older songs and some newer songs. So it's a different set list, and yes, it's a bit more energetic just because, you know, we wanted to do something different than what we've been doing. So
sure.
Yeah, it's a different set list than we're normally playing.
Is it kind of liberating? I think everybody kind of looks to Maiden when it comes to set list, because they're so obvious when they do a new album versus call it a hits tour. Just kind of touring a few years removed from Digital Noise Alliance, give you guys a little more freedom that you're not, you know, you can kind of go wherever you want?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of it kind of dictates our audience. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of the casual listeners of Queensryche. So they expect to, you know, hear songs that were popular when they were of the age. And, but I think, you know, giving this, the circumstances of this show, you know, it's a lot of energetic, but, you know, enough of mainstay Queensryche songs that anybody will be happy.
Yeah, but I think you mentioned something there that I find kind of interesting, the casual Queensryche fan, and I can't think of a person that falls into that bucket. You know, you guys have always been a band that once, at least to me, once people got it, you're a lifer. You know, there wasn't like, I'm going to ebb and flow from that. Do you see that, though? I mean, do people come and just, you know, they remember Silent Lucidity, they walk in the door and you hit them in the face with Queen of the Reich? Does that happen?
Oh, sure, it does. You know, it's the diversity, but, you know, you do. You get people that are curious that may remember you from the MTV days. So maybe they've only heard you on a cassette or a CD or online, you know. So we get a ton of that. And, you know, we value that we're gaining new fans and checking out to see what we've been doing for 40 plus years.
Yeah. And I think the fact that you guys, you know, you obviously came of age when hair metal was a thing and you had, you know, the hit, but you weren't trapped by it. I mean, I think more people, you know, in the world, I think there was a much more respect for what you guys did. I think, especially because you laid down Rage for Order and Operation Mindcrime in a time where a lot of bands did fun, happy, poppy albums, and you guys, you know, brought us something much more thought-provoking, maybe made people a little more diehard fans. Is that kind of the opinion you guys, you feel that way?
I think, you know, when we started, we were always known as a touring band or mm-hmm. a musician's band, you know?
Yeah.
And I think with all the fads and everything, cookie cutter bands, things like that, we just stayed true to what we write, you know, and it's the sum of the individuals, and it's kind of always been like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the fans, they value that, you know, they're always interested in what we're going to do next because we push the boundaries and as recordings, you know, it's always, mm-hmm. you know, something special for our, you know, hardcore fans. And, you know, they're just along for the ride, and it's just, you know, a great situation that we're in because it's, we're kind of unique, you know. We can fit playing, you know, shows with Metallica, and we can also play with AC/DC. So it's our music kind of transcends all the boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys had enough of the MTV era songs, the, you know, especially, you know, from Empire and you know some of the tracks from Mindcrime that people knew. But I think one of the things that always lended itself was the respect from the fans that you guys didn't chase the trends after that. You know, a lot of bands that maybe had platinum success around the time you guys had platinum success tried to chase where the music industry went, and you guys stayed what you were. You didn't come out and try to sound like Alice in Chains or Soundgarden. You sounded like Queensryche going in, you know, different musical ideas and things like that, but it wasn't like no one felt, you know, these guys are just going to change it up and try to sound different, which was always refreshing, quite honestly.
Yeah, and the songwriting is sometimes, you know, a bit progressive, but it's mm-hmm. melodic, but it's, you know, it's well thought out. You know, it's not, you know, the Mama Beat average rock song. It's something that our fans like listening to, you know, and it's something that we've just always done, you know, we're, like I said, we just kind of push the envelope and, you know, just, it's, I've been doing this for so long, you know, it's just kind of automatic.
yeah, it is. And it is really genuine. Can you talk a little bit about, I know it seems like a million years ago we talked to you when you did the Soulbender album. You released officially Whip Volume 1 late last year, kind of your foray into a, quote, solo album, but obviously you still had musicians joining you. Can you talk a little bit about how, for those who maybe didn't even realize it or haven't listened to it yet, how that album differed and why it wasn't a Soulbender 2 sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I wrote the whole album, so it's a little different than you know, Soulbender, but it's, you know, just a bunch of friends in Seattle that are musicians, and I said, you know, I have a plethora of song ideas. I'm always writing, you know, so some of it is Queensryche, some of it is not Queensryche, so. You know, we just put it together. It took a while because, you know, Queensryche has been touring so heavily for the last 3 years. And, but yeah, it's out, you know, and, a lot of, favorable reviews. It's, you know, it's played on satellite radio and it's like, it's good, you know, it's, fun to, you know, be able to, stretch my creativity and put something that's more my trademark, just hard rock stuff. And, with a, you know, different musician, and it's fun, you know. I'm going to do a volume two. I've already got the songs ready. You know, I just need some time to put it all together.
isn't that everybody needs more time? When you write, you know, you mentioned that, you know, this isn't necessarily Queensryche material. Do you typically sit down to write Queensryche style material, and is there something that you know a headspace you get into, or do you listen to what you get when you're noodling, warming up, whatever, and say, no, that's not a Queensryche style riff or something that's going to go on the shelf, and you know, we'll see when we get to volume six if we can use that.
It, you know, the way I've done this in my whole career, it's all inspiration. You know, it's I pick up the guitar, and all of a sudden, if there's a, you know, a memorable riff, you know, the song gets built. And I don't know if it's Queensryche worthy or not. You know, I just go with it and, you know, see what the outcome is. And, but it all starts with just a riff or a melodic line or, you know, and that's just the way I've always done it. I don't pre-plan. I don't know. I'm trying to get out of the way of myself when I'm writing and just, you know, not really pay attention to what I'm doing. And that kind of is the best scenario, at least for me.
When it's come to the point where you need to make a decision on, you know, I've written this piece of music, how do you make that distinction? Is there something in it, or do you bounce it off Eddie or any of the guys in the band, or, you know, do you have sort of a muse that listens to it and says, no, that's really not it, or is it, you just trust your own judgment at this point?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's just how, as a band, you know, you want everybody to be in the building process of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm throwing the first splat on the painting easel.
That's a good way to work.
And if everybody, looks at it, you know, and they make their input, and, you know, that's the whole thing about being a band. You know, it's getting everybody's strengths and, their creativity involved. You know, and then it builds, you know, you build the song, and then you stand back and, give it some time to breathe and then listen to it. And then you see if it's worthy, you know, or if it just goes into the pile.
Yeah. Volume six, we'll call that. Do you guys have much in the way of a follow up for Digital Noise Alliance? Kind of in the oven, or is where would it be in far as coming to life at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we've started the writing process. You know, we've got a good bunch of songs, and you know, it's doing this in pockets of time, right? Yeah. All bands are touring, right?
Yeah.
So you find a week where you can go record, and then, you know. So and producers are not used to this. You know, long gone are the days where a band has, you know, 3 months to record an album.
Yeah, great, you're gonna go we're gonna send you to Vancouver and you stay there for 3 months and make a record. Yeah, that's over.
Right.
Do you intend to work with Zeus again, or is that
scheduled? Oh yeah, thing? we're already working with him.
Awesome.
We built such a relationship, and you know, when he hears my ideas and my riffs and everything, he knows, and I trust him with his decisions. You know, and we just have a great relationship with Zeus.
Yeah, and the word you said there is trust. I mean, that's even if it costs more money to work with somebody of that caliber, you're saving probably time and money by not having to reestablish that trust with someone else. you know, you can go in and just hit the ground running and knock it out. So hopefully that'll be forthcoming pretty soon. As far as Tuesday night with Accept, what can people expect as far as a mix of the old and the new? That's always with a band that's been around as long as you guys have, you have way too many songs to play and probably three times as many that people want to hear. How do you pick?
Do
you guys
like a Chinese menu.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a high energy show. A bit of old, a bit of new, a bit of, traditional Queensryche songs. And, Accept is kicking ass. You know, they've got hard rocking songs. And so it's a good evening of some, metal and some hard rock. And everybody's loving the set.
Yeah.
Our fans are going, great set list, great set list.
Do you guys mix it up like night to night, or is that a little too difficult with production at this stage?
Right now, we had to dig some songs up from, have not been played in 10 or 20 years. So we're still getting used to those. So we're getting this pretty solid. And plus, you don't want to do that because then fans go, well, you played this in that city. How come you didn't play this in this city? It's like, you get a lot of that, and we try and the best flow, the best. We may switch out a song or two, but not completely change what we're doing as far as
gotcha.
That list. We'll just
not gonna be the Allman Brother.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much. You guys will be here Tuesday night with Accept. Show starts at 7:30. It ought to be amazing, and I want to invite everyone to come out, and I want to thank you so much for your time and wish you safe travels getting into Pennsylvania, man.
Yes, and thank you for the support, and thank you for supporting live music. That's what counts.
All right, that about wraps up this episode of Iron City Rocks. I want to thank Michael Wilton and remind you, November 18th, the Palace Theater in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, Accept and Queensryche, a great double bill. Tickets available still at the Palace Theater's website. We will have a link for that in our show notes. So if you head over to ironcityrocks.com, click on episode 565. We'll have a link right in the show notes to buy tickets. There are still tickets available. I imagine there'll still be a few left at the door, but if you really want to see that show, I would not clown around and wait to find out. So until next time, we want to thank you so much for listening. You can drop us an email at ironcityrocks@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to hear on the show coming up. And until next time, thank you so much.